theyeshiva.net.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, Bruchim Aboyim. Today's class is dedicated by the Menachem and Batya Abrams in honor of their beloved children, Mazel, Yeshaya. In honor of their children, Mazel, Yeshua, Ayala, Rafal Tzemach, and David Gavriel. Marichis Yamim Veshanim Toivis, and all the blessings, Begeshem, Beruach, Betoiv, Anirav, Anigla. Thank you very much. We began last class a new Maimer, the Maimer of the Rebbe that was said on Purim Tovshin Tezayin, Purim 5716 or 1956. The theme of the first class was, the Chazal say, the Medrash says, that all of the Moyadim, all of the festivals, all of the holidays are going to be nullified in the future when Mashiach comes, excluding Purim. On Purim, it says in the Megillah that the days of Purim will never be removed from the Jewish people and the memory of it. The memory of Purim will never be eliminated from the seed, from the children of the Jewish people. So on this, the Medrash says that Purim is unique, that none of the only, the one Moed, the one holiday that will not be batel. And this is the famous question. Torah is eternal. And if the Torah and the mitzvahs are eternal, how could the Medrash say such a thing? And on this, he gives the answer. And the answer is that it doesn't mean that there will not be the other holidays. It means that their potency, their relevance, their power will be nullified, like lighting a candle in the middle of the day. Because of the great joy, the abundant joy, because of the bliss and the goodness, and the toiva and the simcha, the happiness that's going to vibrate during the time of the redemption, the time of the gula. So it's the power of the Mayadim L'Simcha, that joy won't be felt, it won't be experienced in a significant way. Again, like Shraga B'Tiera L'Mayahani, like lighting a candle in the middle of the day, even though at night it's not only significant, but it's extremely significant and saves. I wanted to say saves the day, but I guess here you have to say saves the night. On this he had a question, because the Medrash gives another opinion about Yom Kippur. And the second opinion is that Yom Kippur also won't be bottled, because the expression in Torah by Yom Kippur is Chukas Oilam, it's an eternal statue. If the whole Vart is Mitzad Simcha, so then how does Yom Kippur Bechlal come into the picture that you have to negate it? The whole union of Yom Kippur is a separate union. Yom Kippur is not competing with Simcha. Sukkahs, Pesach, Shavuos are called Moyadim L'Simcha. Vatitin Lano, we say in Davening, Vatitin Lano Hashem Alekeinu Ba'ava, Moyadim L'Simcha. We don't say that on Yom Kippur. On the contrary, the mitzvah of Yom Kippur is V'inisim es nafshei seichem. You should afflict the soul. So it's L'chatchila not in that category, it's not in that genre of mitzvahs that now you have to negate, that even will Asid love it, when there's going to be so much Simcha, this won't be nullified. To say this is exactly what he wants to say, this is exactly his point, that Yom Kippur won't be nullified because it's not one of these holidays that's going to be eclipsed when Mashiach comes, because it's not about Simcha. That's what he wants to say. Then he says, hey, Bazei should have said about Rosh Hashanah also. Rosh Hashanah is also not an inyan of Simcha. And then also you don't need a pasuk, Chukas Olam. And the first opinion holds that Yom Kippur will be batel. So that's also strange, according to this. So this, he went into a whole explanation that everything physically comes from a higher source. Right? Everything in Gashmis is nishtalsa from Ruchnias, which we spoke about at length. So when we speak about the goodness or the joy when Mashiach comes and all the physical benefits that will be and the properties that will all the physical dimensions of Mashiach's coming, even higher than in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, it's because of a spiritual state of consciousness. It's because of a spiritual transformation. What's called in the language of Chassidus, Gilui Elikus. There's going to be a unique level of Gilui Elokus, revelation of godliness, even deeper than the one that existed in the first Beis HaMikdash. Maybe there'll be even, you're saying what's going to be with, it won't be a transformation. It's a different type. Because truth is infinite, so relative to a higher level of infinity, you need transformation, but it's a different type of transformation. It's not darkness to light, it's within light itself. No, it won't be boring. Don't worry about it. In many ways, the transformation is deeper. Because the transformation from darkness to light is it's an obvious necessity. The ability to transform light, because relative to a higher level, it's also dark. It requires a lot more subtlety, and maybe for a sensitive soul, that can be it's a very profound experience. There's an expression in Kabbalah that Keser Elyon, Afal Gavdi Iu Oyut Sachel Metzuchtzuch Ukam Hu Kadam Ilas Ilas Vesibus Hasibus, which means the light of Keser, even though it's shining and so full of light, it's considered darkness relative to the source. So even with when we're talking about infinity, every level of light, even as infinite as it is, you won't be bored, don't worry. Nothing to compare it to. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Tafsir Steigen. Once you understand that it's an inyan of Gilui Elokus, so now we understand that the Gilui Elokus of Purim is such that even Lagabe, the Gilui, the revelation when Mashiach comes, the power of Purim is still going to be potent and relevant and forceful. About Yom Kippur, there's two opinions, because Yom Kippur, Yom HaKippurim is Kippurim, it's like Purim. So on one level, it's like Purim, and that's the opinion, that the revelation of Yom Kippur is going to be still powerful, even in the presence of the revelation of Mashiach. And the other opinion says it's only Kippurim. Yom Kippur is only Kippurim, it's like Purim, but it's not Purim. And therefore, that will also be nullified. What does it mean it'll be nullified? That the Gilui Elokus of Yom Kippur, the revelation of Yom Kippur, will be like a candle in daylight. And he says, even in Nigla, you see this concept, that there's things Yom Kippur doesn't atone for, and yet Purim atoned for it because of the complete transformation. That was a very brief summation of what we learned. More details, you can go back to the first class. And now we're going to continue Siv Beis Chapter 2, which is page 120. V'tzarech lahavin milas hagilui de'alakus de'purim. O'mahim e'inyonim de'purim she'palu gilui yersha filu la'asid lova yidavar gadol. She'zal we'in she'loi berech lagabi kol shara meidim alamayla filu miyema kippurim. This itself now has to be understood. What's the greatness of the divine revelation of Purim? And what is it about Purim that happened on Purim that created such a light, such a revelation of truth, that even after Mashiach's coming, when the world will be repaired, when there'll be the ultimate tikkun, the ultimate fixing and healing, still Purim will be celebrated as a unique day, as a uniquely transcendent day, way beyond every other holiday, and according to one opinion, even beyond Yom Kippur. Yuvon behekdim, we explained that this is pshat in the Medrash. And therefore, it's not a contradiction to Torah not going through a change. Torah has a Yisla'iteya Mechlev is one of the 13 principles of faith. What is Taka now the Inyan Taka? What is it about Purim? The second paragraph? Yeah. It's Perik Beis. You see, Oiz Beis. V'yuvan, four lines from the beginning of the second paragraph, page 120. V'yuvan behektim klolos achilik ben Purim l'chalam ayodim. So for this, we need to introduce Yuvan. This will be understood behektim by with a hagdama, with an introduction, the difference of Purim and the other Yamim Tov. One of the general differences. It's a very obvious and general difference, and that's in terms of the timing. Shekol hamoedim kshurim mizman abayis shazal yubnei sol ishtachas gafni v'tachas teinase. All of the Yamim Tovim were established. Of course, they were given by Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, so they were established in the Midbar. When the Jewish people have just become a nation and received the Torah and built a Mishkan, and they were created around life in Eretz Yisrael, with a central epicenter, a Mishkan, or later a Beis HaMikdash, when Shlomo HaMelech built a Beis HaMikdash. So it's connected to Zman HaBayis, to the time when the Jewish people are dwelling in their organic, natural habitat, their homeland, that's called Zman HaBayis, the time of the Beis HaMikdash. When the Jewish people were Ishtachas Gafne V'tachas Tinas, that's the expression by Shlomo HaMelech, everyone dwelled, each one under his vine, or his fig tree, which is an expression in Tanakh of saying everyone was rooted in their organic space. Yeshua ben Nun divided Eretz Yisrael between all of the tribes. Right? We say in Musaf, we say on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, we speak about the fact that you should plant us within our border. It's an interesting expression. You usually don't plant people. You plant trees, right? But the truth is, a person is also planted, just like a tree. We're not physically planted, Baruch Hashem. We can move around. But means that you have roots. You're rooted in something. And you're rooted in your boundaries. In other words, people who have healthy boundaries, they're planted somewhere. This is where I belong. If you pull me out from here, I'm not doing you a favor, and I'm not doing myself a favor, because it's like, say, tell the tree, come here, I got to talk to you. We have an interesting conversation here. So you bring the tree over, and what happens? It's dead, right? It's a very powerful idea. You know who you are, you're rooted. You're rooted, literally rooted. The word is rooted. You're planted. Bigvuleinu. So that's Ishtachas Gafnev, Ishtachas Teinasa. It's interesting. I saw this, I think, in an article by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Zecherno Livracha. He said, what's the opposite of Kedusha? Hamavdal ben Kedush l'chol. Right? What's chol in Hebrew? What does chol in Hebrew mean? Sand. Sand. We translate chol as the mundane, right? Vachadik. But really, chol means, samti azarachak, chol hayam, like the sand of the beach, of the sea, of the ocean. So chol is sand. Bein hachulas, between the sands. The story of Maseches Shabbos, there was somebody who came to Nuj Hillel on Friday when he was in the bathhouse, and he asked him all these questions, and one of them was about the eyes of the Chinese, of the Trutas, the Tamadun, why their eyes are very round or very soft. It's two gears, it's two explanations in Rashi. So he said, because the sandstorms, so they were created that their eyes should be protected. Bein hacholos. So why is that the antithesis of Kedusha? Because in chol, in sand, you can't plant anything. You have earth and soil, it's mukshar, it's fertile to plant. Try planting something on the beach in the sand, yeah, and then a wind comes. What's it called? Gone with the wind. Everything is gone with the wind. So the opposite of Kedusha is not profanity. The opposite of Kedusha is you're rootless. I don't know if there's such a word. Yeah. Rootlessness. There's no root. And therefore, yeah, I'm here today, I'm there tomorrow. There's no visiteinu b'gvuleinu. So that's describing generally as manabayis, ishtachas gafne v'tachas teinasa. For l'chein nekrayim, and that's why the Yomim Tovim are all based on agriculture. In other words, it was based on a system where Jewish people are farming, they're growing their land, they're settling their land, Yishuv Haaretz, that Takas Gafne, literally, Gafne Teinasi is not just a metaphor, the fig tree and the vine and the fig tree, the system of Yomim Tovim is all about the fig trees and the grape trees and all of the other trees and all of the grain, etc., and the vegetables and the fruits. It's called Moed Ha'aviv, Chag HaKotzer, Chag HaAsif. In Chumash, the Yom Tovim are associated with the various processes of agriculture. You have Moed HaAviv. Aviv is when the grain starts becoming ripe in the month of Nisan, usually April. The carbon Omer, the first carbon coming from the new grain, the barley, which was the second day of Pesach, and then we have Sfiras Omer. Then you have Chag HaKotzer. Later, 2 to 7 weeks later, when you have Chag HaKotzer, the holiday of harvest, where you could start harvesting. And then finally, after leaving everything out during the summer to dry, Chag HaAsif before the new winter season and Sukkot's time was the holiday celebrating the gathering. Asaf is the gathering of all of the fruits and all of the grain and all the vegetation and produce into the silos, into the storage houses, houses under a roof where it would remain for the whole season to be able to nurture the family or the community, or if it was used for revenue, for business, whatever it is. So why is this important? Because Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot represented that relationship with earth, that connection with earth, that organic connection between the person and his field, his home, his gardens, his farm, or her farm, etc. So it's not just the physical element, it's when the Jewish people were in that state. Hashem can Purim is the one holiday, Shayach L'Zman HaGolos. It's the one holiday in Tanakh that was created, Dafka in Golos, in exile. The entire all the circumstances that brought about Purim were circumstances that came because of Golos, because of the exile of the Jewish people, the alienation of the Jewish people, the fact that they were uprooted from their organic homes, the fact that the tree was severed from its roots. Which usually trees don't survive that way. You know, you can maybe artificially do something here and there, but we all know you cut roses, you bring them home for Shabbos, it's gewaldig, but after a few days you need a lot of eitzes in order to keep it alive because it doesn't have that natural flow. The whole Purim happened because the Jewish people were under the jurisdiction, under the tyranny of Achashverosh, and over there was a Haman. And Haman told Achashverosh, these are parasites. They don't have a place. They're exiled between everybody and they want to eat. They take everything from, in other words, they don't have their own place, their own homeland. And they're not loyal to you. So the whole Purim happened, Tafkin and Golas. And you have that in the Tanakh. All the Bayadim are in Tanakh. The one holiday, Megillas Esther, is the one holiday that was written, that was experienced outside of Eretz Yisrael.
All the holidays, I mean, we have out of five holidays, only two about agriculture. Everything else is not. Rosh Hashanah is not. Yom Kippur is not. Hanukkah, Purim, Pesach is also not.
No. We're talking about the three Mayadim L'Simcha from Torah are called Aviv, Chag Aviv, Chag Kotzi, Chag Asav. No, the way the Torah identifies it is based on agriculture. No, it's called Chag Aviv. Aviv means Av. Rashi says that the grain, it starts becoming ripe. Yeah, spring. So Purim was created in Galus. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yudalad, why don't we say Halal on Purim? Chanukah, you say Halal. Yom Tov, you say Halal. Purim, you should for sure say Halal. And one of the reasons the Gemara gives there in Megillah is because Akati Avdid Achashverosh Shana. We are still the servants of Achashverosh, slaves of Achashverosh. In Halal, you say Halleluka, Hallelu, Avdei Hashem. So as the Gemara of Eloi, Avdei Achashverosh. So even after everything of Purim, they were still under the regime and the government, the monarchy of Achashverosh. It was a Gevaldik Ness, but Achashverosh was the boss. The great miracle was that Achashverosh was on our side. Mordechai was appointed to be prime minister or viceroy, second in command. Esther's glory as the queen came to the fore and her Jewishness came to the fore. But all in the palace of Achashverosh. Akati Avdei Achashverosh Shana. Shalachin Einayim Halal B'Purim. The Leukim B'Shara Maidim Shemilam Loyu B'Nayisov Matzuv Shalavdus B'Golos. Where other holidays the Jewish people had that independence, they were Avdei Hashem, not Avdei Achashverosh, so they say Halal. That's what the Gemara explains in Maseches Megillah. U'Klolus HaChilik B'Zeh, the general difference is Sheyesh Ne'amayim in the Matzuv the Knesset Yisrael Gavishin HaKaz B'Shem Esther. The two eras in Jewish history are represented by two separate names, Esther and Rachel. Esther and Rachel, Chazal say, are not just individual names of important women in our history. The Jewish people have these two names. Sometimes we're called Esther, and sometimes we're called Rachel. So he says the time of Purim represents a time when the Jewish people are called Esther. And that's why Esther really embodied the zeitgeist of Purim. It's called Megillas Esther. It's not even called Megillas Mardechai. Or Megillas Mardechai ve-Esther. It's called Megillas Esther. It's not just Esther the person, of course Esther the person, but Esther embodies a certain energy that exists then. During the time of the decree of Haman, and even afterwards, during the miracle, after the decree. And then there's the state of the Jewish people at the time of the Bayis, the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and then their name is Rachel. About Rachel, it says in Chumash, she was Yifas Toyer, V'Yifas Mara, right, Parshas Vayetze, Rachel Hoysa, Eine Leia Rakas, V'Rachel Hoysa, Yifas Toyer, V'Yifas Mara. Rachel was Yifas Toyer, and Yifas Mara. Toyer means the physique was beautiful, and Mara is the countenance, the look, the Mara. We'll soon see the two expressions. And that's the time the Jewish people are called in Shir HaShirim, Hayofa Banoshim, the most beautiful, the Shainste von Freya, the most beautiful of women. Expression in Shir HaShirim is, we'll soon discuss, Im Loi Seidi Lach Hayofa Banoshim. If you don't know most beautiful, most comely of women, where to go, he tells them where to go in the beginning of Shir HaShirim. So he says that's an expression, Hayofa Banoshim. It's an expression, on Shir HaShirim is a metaphor, Ani Ledoidi Vedoidi Li, for the two who are so connected to each other. So the title is Hayofa Banoshim. That's represented by Rachel, who was the quintessential paradigm of Yifas Toyer, Yifas Mar. V'hainu, what are we talking about? Shebizman, Purim Knesset Yisrael, v'mayim edematzu, k'may bizman agolos, she'ene b'mayim edematzu, v'yifas Toyer, v'yifas Mar, k'may Hayofa Banoshim. This beauty that we're talking about, Yifas Toyer, v'yifas Mar, Hayofa Banoshim, the time of Purim, which was a time of golos, This beauty was concealed. It's not manifested. Al zeh nemar, on this, the pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, the first chapter, Perek Aleph, pasuk says, Im lo yiseidi lo chayofa banosh. Over there in the beginning of Shir HaShirim, as I said, it's a metaphor. The bride, or who would be the bride, who wants to be the bride, turns to the shepherd, right? Shir HaShirim happens in the spring, and it happens in Eretz Yisrael. Shlomo HaMelech writes it. And it's the story of the two who meet and they begin to develop a contact. And it's very difficult. It's on and off and on and off and there's alienation and then they rediscover it. So like five times back and forth. It's a very intense story, Shasha. A very beautiful story. So she asks, she turns to him and says, where can I find you? Where can I find the shepherd? And the shepherd responds, Im lo yiseidi lach hayofa banoshim, tzi'i lach b'ikvei hatzoin uri'iyas g'di yosayach al mishkan asarayim. If you don't know most beautiful of women where to go, so follow the footsteps of the flock and you'll bring your goats and shepherd them by the dwelling places of the shepherds. Now, obviously, it's a cryptic pasuk, and there's a lot of different interpretations here. Here we're going to see one of the spiritual interpretations. But he's describing a situation of lo yiseidi lach hayofa banoshim. This most beautiful of women does not know where to go. She doesn't know. That's what exile means. Exile is not just a physical experience. Physically, you could be in exile, but you're not. There was once a meeting in Russia in 1910. Chaim Briska was there, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe was there. So he got up, he gave a famous drush, and he said, the gufim zaneg gangen in Golos, nish de neshamas. The bodies of the Jewish people were sent to the Golos, not their souls. The souls are never in Golos. Golos is not just a physical thing of geography. It's a state of consciousness, right? Even Jews who are living in Eretz Yisrael, they say in davening, mepnei chateinu galinu me'artzeinu. What's galinu me'artzeinu? How could you lie? I could be in Eretz Yisrael, I could be in Yerushalayim, but it's a state of Golos. It's an inner state of Golos. That's Galinu Me'artzen. So, Seidi Lach Hayafa Banoshim. I don't know where to go. I don't know. So, Tzilach Bikvi Atzen, I have to follow the footsteps. I'm following footsteps. Tzilach Bikvi Atzen. Here in the Maimon, he's saying a whole deeper taich in the Pasuk. Imloy Seidi Lach Hayafa Banoshim. If you're not aware of your own beauty, it's not just im loyseidi lach hayafa banoshim. If you don't know most beautiful of women where to go, let me tell you where to go. In other words, yafa banoshim is almost like in parentheses. It's almost a way of calling you. No, that's what you don't know. Im leisedi lachayafa banashim. You don't have das. You don't have awareness of your beauty. Im leisedi says im leisedi lach hayafa banashim. The yafa, your beauty, is not known to you. Leisedi lach. You don't know about it. Or even if you know about it intellectually, you don't have das in it. You don't have connection to it. This is the beginning of all galus. The beginning of all galus is when you're robbed from that innate sense of malchus, that innate sense of royalty, that innate sense of dignity. We sometimes, in our coping mechanisms or complete inability to understand what people need, call it selfishness, narcissism. But it's the opposite of that. It's what allows you to be selfless. It's what allows you to be non-narcissistic. It's what allows you to be functioning. It's what allows you to have relationships. The moment the person is alienated from their own yoifi, from their own inner sense of dignity, of value, which is what becomes, in citizen expression, you become kaskupa hanidresis, like a doormat that's made for people to step on, to go into the house. That's not humility. That's self-destruction. It's the opposite of humility. Humility is the greatest prerequisite for growth. And this is what destroys it, it demolishes. So im lo yisedi l'chayafa banashim, there comes a time where you look in the mirror, the spiritual mirror, and you don't see yourself as Rachel, yifas tayva, yifas mana. I don't know my own beauty. I doubt it. And I'm not talking I doubt it intellectually on paper, am I beautiful? I'm not talking about that. I mean, that's a separate Indian, it's not the sugya of the maimer. We're talking about a doubt that's rooted in could be rooted, chas v'shalom, in the DNA of the person, or at least in their own perception of their DNA. In other words, it's sometimes so deep that it's unconscious that it guides my life without me knowing that it guides my life. You know, when we're not aware of forces inside of us that guide our life, it doesn't mean they don't exist. It means that they exist in a more powerful way. Because if I'm conscious of it, at least, you know, I could monitor it, right? When I'm not conscious of the enemy, there's nobody to monitor, so I could just go eat breakfast. When really it's wreaking havoc, it's a complete control. It's so in control that it even hijacked my awareness. So it controls everything. The last security barrier, which is awareness, is also gone. It took the over. Oh no, nothing. There's nothing wrong. Everything is fine. Baruch Hashem. So now it's completely inside the person, and it's literally causing them to decompose. That's leisedi l'chayafa banashim. There comes a time where leisedi l'chayafa banashim, the person does not have that inner das. That das is the visceral awareness. Das is not intellectual knowledge, right? This chachma bina and this das is the visceral consciousness of the yafa banashim. Now, if I'm not yafa, now my whole life has a different trajectory. Now I have to live in a way that it's at least somebody should say I'm beautiful. Because I don't know it. So at least maybe you'll know it. So now I could become the quintessential people's pleaser. Or I could become the quintessential person who's constantly dancing around and my postures are changing from minute to minute, simply to be able to feel some beauty, some value, some validation, or another billion ways of it expressing itself and manifesting itself. But the common denominator is there's no seidi lach. You don't know who you really are. And therefore, I'm not stepping into life. I'm waiting for you to tell me how to step into life. Does anybody relate to what I'm talking about? You're all looking at me as I'm the only meshugana here in this room. So that's the inyan. Why is the name Esther? Pashtus Esther means concealment. Something is concealed. The word Esther. But it's something else. The Gemara says in Megillah Daf Yud Gimel, Esther Yirakroikas Hoysa. The Gemara says that the fact that Esther, Achashverosh, was so taken by Esther was a chiddush. The Megillah even, why? Because Esther Yirakroikas Hoysa. Esther, her face, the color was Yerakroikas. Yerakroikas means greenish, yellowish, yarak. Elamai, the Gemara says, Chutzal Chesed Moshe Chala. Rashi says there was a special, the Gemara says, Chutzal Chesed, there was a special chut, a thread of grace that was extended over her. In other words, Al Piteva, naturally, if you would look at Esther Yerakroikas. Why is the Gemara trying to say this? So he says, spiritually, he's bringing out a point. Im loy seidi lachayafa banashim. You look at yourself and you say, I'm a irakrekas, I'm yellowish, I'm greenish. In other words, that's the matzav of leisedi l'chayaf b'na. Rachel never doubted that she was a yifas to a yifas mara. She had a security in the relationship with Yaakov. See, in Chumash, Rachel had a certain security in the relationship. Leah struggled. Leah struggled in the relationship. Am I his wife? Am I not his wife? For good reason, because he wanted Rachel. Right? Leah struggled. She named her kids Reuven, because Hashem saw my pain. Shimon, Hashem heard my pain. Levi, because now my husband will finally be with me. Yehuda, now I can be thankful, grateful. Yisachar, Yashchar, Zvulun, now my husband is going to live with me. Everything was security in the relationship. However you want to explain it on any level, there's obviously a lot deeper levels. There was a struggle here. Rachel had a baby. She had a baby, Yosef. It was right away. Yosef Hashem li ben Achim. I'm going to have another child. The question of the relationship with Rachel was not a question. Spiritually, what that means is she never doubted Yifas Tov, Yifas Mara. When I'm questioning a relationship, I'm questioning myself. I don't say that. I say, you don't like me. You don't like me because I don't like me. When I like me, then whoever has to like me is going to like me. It's fine. And you know what? Whoever doesn't have to like me is very good. Fine. We'll figure it out. When I don't like me, then you don't like me. You don't like me. You don't like me. You're talking behind my back. You're texting because I'm boring. You're talking to somebody else. Whatever it is, then suddenly the whole world is a difficult place to live. So spiritually speaking, Esther Yerakroikas Haisa. In other words, it's the matzav when a person's own inner beauty is concealed. And that's Leisedi L'chayafa Banosha. So it's two different states. There's the state when Jews are called Rachel, and there's the state when the Jewish people are called Esther. And here the Rebbe throws a divine bomb, I would say. He says, listen to this. Amnam meha inyan de'im leisedi lach. And you see the words leisedi are in italic. You know what italic means? Like underlined. It's not underlined, but italic means when you, it's a different font, so you emphasize the words. Amnam meha inyan de'im leisedi lach. Nasal yidlach rezai de'a in de venapichu asimcha de purim boy for the ad de loyada. The leisedi creates Adalayada. On one, and that's the whole point. On one level, Purim is Leisedi L'chayafa Banashim. You don't know. Because it's exile. I'm a slave of Achashverosh. I'm not a slave of God. What's the meaning of being a slave of Achashverosh, of Eved Hashem? Eved Hashem means you know who you are. Eved Achashverosh means Achashverosh has to tell me who I am. People think Avdei Hashem means now I'm a slave of God, now I'm a slave of Achashverosh. Okay, which is better? Maybe Achashverosh is better, because at least Achashverosh, you don't say Achashverosh, V'hine Achashverosh, Nitzav Alav, Omaloi Chala, Achashverosh, Nitzav Alav, how's the nigga go? Omaloi Chala, Anetz Achashverosh, Omabit Alav, at least Achashverosh, I could run to the bathroom, I don't know, I could lock the door, right? So it's better at least, with Hashem, Omaloi Chala, it's quite the Omabit Alav, V'ichin Kloyez V'leif, it could be very disturbing. But that's of course a very, depressing and external way of looking at it. It's exact opposite. Eved Hashem means that Seidi L'chayafa Banashem. You understand who you are. You understand that you are a manifestation of the divine in this world. The Gemara says, Mashakana Eved Kana Rabbi. Eved Melech, Melech. An Eved of a Melech is called a Melech. Rashi brings it in Chumash, the Gemara says it in Shmuas. Eved Melech is Melech. Why? Because Mashakana Eved Kana Rabbi. The Eved acquires, Rabbi acquires. And the Rajbah, this is in Gemur Kiddushin, the Rajbah explains, it's not pshat the Eved acquires it and then it goes over to the master. It's lechatchile kana Rabbi. It's like the Eved is a manifestation of Rabbi. Which is the Rambam Paschas in Hilchas Shvuas. If an Eved makes a Shvuah, makes a Nedem, it's a serious thing. It's Bechlal, it's not Chal. It would be like I'll make a neder on your fruits. I'll make a neder on your house. I don't have a power to impose legal procedures on somebody else's property. Like I don't have that koyach. So he says, because the Eved belongs to the Rabbah, so Mela can't make a neder and a shvu. That's what the Rambam, I think the other Rishonim argue, but it's a chiddush. What's the point? My point here is, when you say Avdei HaShvedish, Avdei Hashem, the idea here is, Avdei Hashem means it's Seidi Lachayafa Banashim. Person knows who they are. Avdei Hashem means you're in tuned with the rhythm of existence. You're in tuned with the true hierarchy of existence. Avdei HaShvedish means I need HaShvedish to tell me who I am. So Purim is a matzav of Esther, not Rachel. Loi Seidi Lachayafa Banashim. You don't know. So obviously, it's a very difficult space to be in. But from this, you have an apichu. What's the transformation of Loi Seidi? We spoke earlier that the power of Purim is transformation. Hapesha Asra, Hapesha Hiter. Achashverosh is the one who made the miracle. The same one who made the decree. It's not that Achashverosh was eliminated. Achashverosh was the one who made the decree, and he's the one who created the salvation. Everything that Haman did to undermine the Jewish people, those very acts became the great blessing of the Jewish people. That was the Chiddush of Purim. And he explained, because the tshuva of Purim was v'napichu. It's not that you eliminate the sins, it's that you transform them. It's doinus nasa lekazachis. And that's the power of Yom Kippur. So he says here too, loy seidi is a state of ignorance. There's no knowledge, there's no connection. I don't know yafa banoshim. What happens on Purim? From that, ad loyada is created. From when knowing who I am, I can't create lo yada, ad lo yada. It's a matzav of yada. It's beautiful, you know, and it's good. It's good to know your beauty. Because there was a lo yseidi l'chayafa banashim. So he says, from the lo yseidi is givaran on ad lo yada. The whole simcha of Purim is ad lo yada, higher than yada, in a positive sense. That's from the lo yseidi. From the lo yseidi, which is L'chayra, the darkness that exists in the time of Purim, it is, the transformation is Ad Lo Yada. Was fragst du? What do you? Avada. Lo Yada is much higher than Yada, as we will see. The one, Lo Yseidi is lower than Das. In other words, it's a lack, right? I'm ugly. Lo Yseidi L'chayafa Banasha. Haster, Aster, I'm concealed. My beauty is concealed. But from that matzav of Lo Yseidi, only from that, when that's transformed, you touch the space which is beyond us, Ad Lo Yada, that's gonna be explained. Yeah. You can ask, yeah.
The beauty is a strange quality. Because the person knows his strengths, I understand. The person knows how smart he is in religion. But
yeah. Good question. Yeah. So we have to know what beauty means. It's the next chapter. We're not talking here about the beauty of. Because that's the expression of Shashirim. Right. No, we're talking here a different type of beauty. We'll see in a moment. It's a very good question. Why is the focus on beauty? Yeah, you want to ask something? Gimel. V'yesh l'vayir t'chila ha'inyan sh'knesses yisrael yifas toya v'yifas mara. To understand this, what are we talking about? Yafa banoshim yifas toya. We're talking about pashut that I should be able to look at myself and say, I'm attractive. I'm the most handsome guy in the universe. What are we talking about? What's this whole inyan? So here is, it's very important to strip it from the materialistic veneer. And shows that the important thing here is, in other words, yoifi and gashmius, if it's stripped from yoifi and ruchnius, it's like a person. A person's entire investment is in their physical reality, outside of their spiritual reality, becomes a tragedy because the person is not just physicality. But it's not that Yiddishkeit undermines the physical element of it, it's just when the physical is connected to the spiritual, it's holistic. So he's going to say, what are we talking about when you say yifas toyev or yifas mara? What's the difference between toyer and mara? There's two expressions, yifas toyer and yifas mara. And you have it throughout the Chumash, right? It says it about Yosef. Yosef, the only male in Chumash who's described that way, he was Rachel's son. By Yosef, it says in Parshas, it says about his mother, Yifas Toyev, Yifas Mana. And by Yosef, in Parshas, Vayeshev, Vayhi Yosef, Yifei Toyev, Yifei Mana. Exactly the same expression like Rachel. Because he was her son. He was her part. But Chlalon men, you don't have that expression. The Torah describes Sarah. Avraham Avinu said, Hine Yadna Yadaiti Ki Isha Yifas Mara. He uses the word Mara. By Rivka, it says, when she came out, when she came to the well, right? Eliezer saw her. Toivas Mara. By Rachel, we just learned Yifas Toyev, Yifas Mara. So the Torah is emphasizing about the Imoyas, about the matriarchs, Sarah, and Rivka, and Rachel, not Leah, Rachel, this quality. And two expressions. There's Toyar and there's Mara. What's the difference? She says, Toyar koi al tmunas ha'ivarim. Hainu she'ivarim may be mishkalim u'be'erkim k'diboyi. U'mara koi al klaster haponim. Toyar has to do with what we call physique. The symmetry, the tmuna means the picture of the evarim, the display of the evarim, of the limbs. The evarim are b'mishkalam u'be'erkam k'dibayi. There's a symmetry in terms of the weight, in terms of the size, in terms of the physique. That's what Toyer represents. There's a symmetrical, like a piece of art, where everything is integrated in the most beautiful of ways.
Greeks beauty. Greeks were very much into beauty of
the body. Well, the Greeks worshipped beauty, yeah. Physical beauty, yeah. Mara is koya cluster upon him. Mara is not the physique of all the limbs and their symmetrical connect relationship with each other, but it's the face. It's the countenance. Cluster upon him means sometimes you look at a face, there's a light, there's a shine. It's a beautiful face to look at. This is very much connected to the circulatory system of a person. The hiluch adama means the journey of the blood. The circulation of blood through the gidim, through all of the blood arteries. Gidim are the veins and the arteries through which the blood cruises and travels, which affects the flush or the mara, the countenance of a person's face. Spiritually, in a person's soul, union, amach mitzvah says Hashem keneged ramach yivarem toyar, v'shasa mitzvah sloises Hashem keneged shasa gidim mara. This is the two structures of Yiddishkeit, mitzvahs esse, mitzvahs loises. The Ramach mitzvah says the 248 positive mitzvahs, that's connected to the 248 organs. It says Ramach mitzvahs, keneged Ramach evarim. The 248 organs in the human body correspond to the 248 mitzvahs. And that's the idea of Toyar. As we said, Toyar is that each organ of the body, the symmetry and the way it's designed and functioning is in perfect beauty and symmetry. That's mitzvah sesa. And then you have the shasagidim. Chazal say the shasagidim. It says in Zohar, the 365 gidim. The veins or arteries, sinews are keneged. The shasa mitzvah loisasa. That's the mara. That's what affects the mara, as we said, because that's how the blood travels, including to the face. So when a person's spiritual posture is intact, so both there's the Yifei Toyer and there's the Yifei Mar. The posture is intact and the face captures this unique light and beauty of the person. So what does that mean? On a collective level, spiritually, in every Jew, and collectively, when the avoid of a person is the way it should be. So Knesset Yisrael, they're called Yifas Toyer and Yifas Mar. Yifas Toyer captures the unique symmetry and perfection in all of the limbs, the 248 mitzvahs haseh, positive mitzvahs. And Yifas Mara, because there is also the respect, the boundaries, as he says, everything of Loisa says al mishmartam. Mishmartam means there's the boundaries that the gidim are protected from the Loisa of the 365 prohibited things. It doesn't just say they had a toyer and a mara. It says yifas toyer v'yifas mara. You can have toyer, you can have mara, but it's not yifas. You fast from the word yoifi, beautiful. What adds to the beauty? There's toyer and mara on its own. There's a toyer and there's a mara. But here we say you fast toyer, fast mara. That represents integration, symmetry, hiskalalos. He says you see beauty comes when different force, different colors, gvana means colors. When different colors come together to create a beautiful piece of art, it's not one color. It's the symphony, it's the integration, it's the synthesis of different colors that brings out the most powerful beauty. The same is true in architecture, the same is true in music. See, a beautiful piece of music. If it's just one note, you could do a C minor, whatever it is, fine. But one note is not going to create a beautiful ballad. The power of symphony, right? You have a choir, children singing. It's not the one voice. Could be a beautiful voice too. But that combination of voices creates a special type of aesthetical feeling. The same is true with a symphony of many different musicians. Each one with their own instrument. And together, the togetherness, the synthesis, it's called hiskalalus mikamagvanam. The integration of many colors, that's what creates yoifi, that's what creates beauty. Things that could be different, and the same is true with a guf. A guf is a piece of art. You know, it's Hashem's piece of art. It's one of them, probably the most incredible piece of art in our world, you know. Just the brain, just the design of the brain. When you see the hiskalalus, the integration of everything, it's mind-blowing, that's yoifi. So he's saying here, both in the Toyer and both in the Mara, there's an element of Yoifi. Huh?
If Yofu Kadashim means potential or a yid, you can say the Shindelach is a chassar because you should know your beauty. If it means that you do mitzvahs, I'll say, I'm mitzvahs, less than mitzvahs, then we're not so beautiful.
Right. So we'll see, exactly. You're saying Loi Seidilach could be not just my illusion, it could be a genuine thing. That if I'm missing mitzvah sase, mitzvah lois sase. Yeah, in a chalami, we'll see in a moment. Yeah. What does this mean in a person, yefei toyer v'yefei mara? What does that mean? I understand. You have a mara, you have toyer, you have mitzvah sase, you have mitzvah lois sase. So he says, yoifi is the hiskalalos, the integration, meaning. V'hainu shavoydas adam b'toyer mitzvah sichili is loi b'kav echad kava yeminai hofchoi, ala b'yifin shel hiskalalos hakavan. A person's avoid in Torah mitzvahs could be a person has one kav, that's not yoifi. It's one kav, this is where I am. Anything else that doesn't fit in to my nature, my disposition, or my schedule, I have no connection to. The concept of yoifi is that the person has that openness and flexibility to be able to embrace different kavim, different aspects, different lines, different attitudes, different experiences. That's what Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, the world stands on three things. Torah, Avodah Gemilas Chasadim, right? It's the tripod. The tripod, why, you know why it has three legs, yeah? Pashut, the photographers will tell you, it's that stability. The three legs, it's much better than even than four or five. It's much better, yeah. Yeah, especially when you have surfaces that are not flat. You have slopes. You know, they're going to a wedding on a mountain here, there. It's the tripod, the trio, the shloisha dvarim ha'olam ha'emet. So who invented the tripod? Pirkei Avos says, the world is standing on a tripod. Torah, avodah gemilas chasadim. So he says, Torah, gemilas chasadim is kava yamin, is the right. Avoida is connected to Kava Smile to the left, and Torah is Kava Emtsai, the center. So you have the thesis and antithesis and synthesis. So it brings it together, so you have the three Kava. And when you have that integration, you have beauty. Specifically, you fast Toya made Allah Iskalalus Yafi Bekim Ramach Mitzvah. Toyar. You fast Toya represents the beauty in Toyar, not Mara. There's going to be Mara. What's the beauty in Toyar? The beauty in the Ramach Mitzvah says, "Vuinyan shekol mitzvah klula mikol ha-mitzvahs." It says every mitzvah has in it all of the other mitzvahs. That's what yoifi means, integration. It's one of the reasons it's a oisig a mitzvah patam and a mitzvah. If you're involved in one mitzvah, you're patam from other mitzvahs. So the Rakachov explains, he proves it from Gemara. The reason is because each mitzvah essentially has all the other mitzvahs in it. So Melo, when you're oisig in a mitzvah, you're patam in a mitzvah because you're already doing that mitzvah too. This represents the concept that there's a scholar, just like you have in the body of a person, right? In the DNA, in the what's called the code in the genome that exists in every cell, You have a double copy of the genome, which the DNA is a blueprint of all the parts of the body. In other words, in each element of the guf, you have hiskalulus, you have integration of all the other parts of the guf, even though this is only one cell from trillions of cells in the body. What does this mean in a person's avodah? Usually, the vort of the Rakat Shavu, Noisa Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah, is a geshmak of vort. That in every mitzvah, you have other mitzvahs. So in Mela, you potter. You potter. But he says, this is a teich of how to do a mitzvah. When you're doing a mitzvah, it's teaching you how to do a mitzvah. It's not just, so you're exempt. I'm doing one mitzvah, I don't have to do another mitzvah. That's not the vort. He says, when I do a mitzvah, it could be two things. It could be, it works with my ego. It happens to be that this mitzvah works with my ego, right? If I'm OCD, Lamashal, yeah? So a lot of halacha works very well for me. In fact, somebody once told me he became frum because he was OCD, and he needed a system of life that would work with it. And sometimes you see people, I need safety, I need to, just tell me what to do 24/7, and I'll do it. It fits very well. The moment this person goes out of their comfort zone, oy vavoy. God is as powerful as my comfort zone. The moment I go out of my comfort zone, I'm done. In other words, Yiddishkeit has a kav. As long as I'm in this kav, gesundheit, I'm the best. But moment I'm challenged to go out of this kav, and usually somebody in your life is going to challenge you, it's usually people closest to us, I lose it. Kav means a line, a way, a comfort zone, a structure. So it's important. People have structures and people need structures. And you have different dispositions. Ha'oisig v'mitzvah patur min ha'mitzvah means never get involved in the mitzvah that without losing the touch that it's kol all the mitzvahs. In other words, even mitzvahs that come from an opposite kav, there's different types of mitzvahs, there's essay, there's loisus, there's Torah, avoiding milas chasadim. Whenever I'm oisik in a mitzvah, don't get stuck on the external form. Touch the DNA of it, and when you touch the DNA, then it's all the mitzvahs are there. In other words, when you touch the nekuda that it's a elikus, it's a tzivui Hashem, it's Hashem's tzivui, Hashem is not defined by kavan. He's lamayla me'ischalkus lekavan. God is not defined by division into forms. And b'meila, he's koilal all of them. Don't worship the outer structure, right? Worship Hashem, who's beyond structure. Now he's being manifested through the structure. Now I'm eating matzah. Now I'm putting on tefillin. Now I'm davening. Now I'm learning. Now I'm giving tzedakah. Now I'm in a state of connection with others. Now I'm in a state where I'm alone. Avada. But don't, what happens is, it's an expression, right? There's Jews who are scared of the Shulchan Aruch, and there's Jews who are scared of Hashem. You understand the difference? That's what he's saying. There's a relationship. Something called Yiras Hashem. There's a relationship here. Because what's wrong with it? Nothing wrong with being afraid of the Shulchan Aruch. It's good. But what often happens is there's a lot of ego involved. And not necessarily ego in a bad way, but ego simply, it's my comfort zone. Like, don't bother me. My Shabbos table has to look X, Y, and Z. And if it doesn't, because it's not what your child needs, it's a churban, your whole Shabbos is destroyed. Who decides what a Shabbos table has to look like? Tell me. If I don't follow the parsha sheets, it's not Shabbos? Huh? Yeah. This is it. So felt the oisik v'mitzvah patam and a mitzvah, the hiskalalus of all the mitzvahs. There's an edelkeit here. And so when you do a mitzvah, be connected to the divine in the mitzvah. When you have the divine in the mitzvah, you're not stuck. Obviously, right now it's a Shabbos table. And there's certain mitzvahs that I have to do now. Avada. And that's what Shulchan Aruch is. But that's what yoifi means. Yoifi means it's not one limb. You don't hold on to one limb. There's a symmetry. There's a body. There's a physique. You understand? That's what it means. It's not one mitzvah. There's all the mitzvahs. Even in each limb, the limb is in a relationship with all the other limbs. That's what a physique means. That's what your fast tire means. That's the beauty. Why? Because you're always touching the elikus, the divinity in the mitzvah. And Hashem is not defined by a kav. Hashem is not defined by chesed, by gvura, by teferes, by yamin, by small, by emtsa. It's beyond kav, and therefore it integrates them. And therefore they can work together. And therefore I'm not stuck if I have to move, if I have to shift. Sometimes you have to it's very hard to make these paradigm shifts. That's pshat the yoifi in Yiddishkeit, the skalalus. It's very easy to get stuck, you know. I get stuck in a kav because I'm not in touch with the mitzvahs Hashem. It becomes almost like it works for me. And because it works for me, it's not, so if it doesn't work for me, I'm done. So it can become, sometimes it can become selfish, sometimes it can become destructive. And sometimes it could become very, very egotistical. And even if not, but sometimes it becomes very limited. A person becomes a very limited person. Because I'm not in touch with and that's the mashal of the DNA I was giving. The chiddush of the DNA is that any part of the body that you extract it from, it has the entire guf there. Because whenever you're dealing with atzmius, like the Baal Shem Tov says, ha'etzem kshat ha'toifes b'chelke ha'toifes b'kule. When you touch etzem, essence, even a little part of it has everything. If you're touching a core level, any chelik has the whole. So if you're touching the DNA of the mitzvah, every mitzvah has all the other mitzvahs. If you're touching the external part of the mitzvah, then it doesn't. This is this type of mitzvah. This is an opposite type of mitzvah. V'zeu inyan ha'yoyfi shebekiyim ha'mitzvahs. Shekol mitzvah klula mikol ha'mitzvahs, mikol ha'kavim. And the same is true with loisisa also, which is surmeira. Generally, it's connected to the kava gvura, to the line of gvura, of discipline, of strength. Ezo giber hakoivish es yitzray. So generally, it's connected to kava smoil. But we say yifei mara. Not only yifei toya, yifei mara. What does it mean yifei mara? Not just you have a mara. There's a beauty there. There's a beauty in surmeira. What does it mean there's a beauty in it? It's one thing. It's negative. It's abstaining from things that are not good. So the person is in a state of discipline and self-containment and koivishes yitzur. You're conquering yourself. But yifei mara means there's a hiskalus. There's an integration from all of the kava and from all of the mitzvahs. Here again. The sur meira is not just based on, you know, I'm a very disciplined and strong person, and therefore I'm naturally maybe more reserved or more introspective or more introverted or more tough and harsh, and then it actually works for me. And then when I'm called for to go into a different modality, it's very, very hard. Here too, sur meira needs to have an element of yoifi. We call them mitzvahs. It's not just because it fits me. There's a yoifi here. There's a beauty here. What that means on a practical level is there's somebody who stays away, and the point is I'm staying away. The point is to show to myself or others that I'm staying away. In other words, again, I start worshiping the disengagement, the surmeida, then. It's almost I'm excited about how negative the other person is and I could stay away from it. Don't worship your surmeira. Worship Hashem. Some chassidic writes somewhere in one of the maimonim in Derech Mitzvah Sechi, he says sometimes you have a kanoi, a very zealous person. So he says he protests and makes machos and this. He says, the real problem is he has middas mushchasas. He never worked on his middas. But if he comes to shul and says that, it's not going to be so popular. So he always finds a carbon, a victim, who he can get upset about. The problem is he's an angry man. And because he's an angry man, the anger has to come out. So if Baruch Hashem, he found God to let out his anger. There's no personal refinement here. You're not challenging yourself. I'm not over this, like the Gemara says, I'm not over this Hashem, I'm over this Atzmi. And Sur Meira could sometimes be even worse than Asay Toiv, because, you know, everything is Ra besides me. That's not yoifi. Even Surminat, there's a beauty here. What's the beauty? The beauty is, you're not stuck in this. There's a positivity here. Take in a marriage. In a marriage, there's two inyanim. Taisva says, why is Kiddushin called Kiddushin? So he says, one reason is because Asra la kol alma kehektash. When you get married, the wife is forbidden for the whole world, like Hektash, just like something holy in the Beis HaMikdash. No, it's not for everybody to use. There's exclusivity, there's intimacy. That's one inyan. And then there is Mekudeshes Miuchedes Mezumenesli. She's designated to you. Rakachava explained, Rakachava Gun says there's two elements in Kedushin. One is the positive and one is the negative. Negative in a good way. The positive is two people are married. The negative is they're disconnected from the rest of the world. Disconnected in a good way. They're not married to anybody else. If a woman says, I'm married to you, but I'm also, what do they call it? They call it an open marriage, right? One of the biggest mishagasin of our generation. A couple came to me. From a couple. He wants an open marriage. Says it'll be, everybody will be happier. She could bring in people. He could bring in people. After a few minutes, I'm saying, where did you get this from? It turns out he's an atheist. Now, once you're an atheist, so who decides what's good, what's not good? So I had to use a completely different language. So I said, from an evolutionary perspective, if you want evolution to work, survival of the fittest, it's going to work much better if there's trust. It's an evolution. When there's trust, the system is more relaxed. It's going to work much better. What's my point? There's no such a thing. If I'm connected to you, right, the Chayvus HaLevavus writes, you're not going to have fire and water coexisting. I can't be addicted to pizza and cheesecake and ragalach and all the other things they have at breakfast, for breakfast, Baruch Hashem. And at the same, also I'm connected to a healthy lifestyle. You got to choose. Can't have a pie of pizza and then I'm going to go to the gym and then another pie of pizza for dessert. You have to choose. There's a relationship with something. So there's two elements in the marriage. There's Asra la kol alma kehektash. There's I belong to you, and because I belong to you, I have boundaries. I don't belong to somebody else. People don't like that always. They don't like that. But that means that the positive is missing. Because if there was a real connection, you understand, to maintain that connection, a child needs to know, this is my father, this is my mother. Stalin in Russia, he wanted, what do you need families for? The state will educate kids. You make a crazy world. The safety of a child is, this is my mother, this is my father, you're my tati, you're my mommy. Yeah, there's a safety there. And the more you have that, the more you could be a universal person who's connected to everybody, because you have an anchor. Same is true in a marriage. If there's a very positive relationship, yeah, there's boundaries. Why? Because it doesn't begin with the negative, it begins with the positive. But if you have a marriage which is only Asra la kol alma kehektash, but there's no connection, then it's taka churban. Because all we have is no, right? It's like houses, what's Shabbos? Shabbos is, you can't do that. Muktzah, everything is forbidden. Vas, yeah? I don't know, we're miserable. If the Shabbos table is only, we don't, and vas, yeah. That's the idea. Sur Meira, it's not, don't get stuck in the, I don't. There's a connection. That's why I don't. If it's only I don't without a substitute of what do we do? There's a marriage, there's a beautiful marriage. That's why we don't go other way. There's a relationship. If there's nothing for me in the house, I'm coming home and it's miserable and no one is connecting. Yeah, of course I need other connections. What do you want me to do? So if you're lucky, I just hang out here in shul and I eat soup. So that's my connection. Okay, better than other stuff. And if we're not so lucky, you know, my Yetzer Hara takes me to other places. You get your teufel's dinyan. Sur Meira is the same, like, so just like we said, Oisim Mitzvah Patam, Mitzvah Mitzvah Sesim, Mitzvah Sesim, it's the same Nakuda. It's not Sur Meira only about this. It's Kala Mitzvahs. There's a connection here. There's a connectivity here. Because, and then it's not negative only. Then there's a Yoifi in it. There's a beauty in it. Because you're connected to the divine DNA of the Mitzvah. That's Pshat Yoifi. Yeah.
Du hast Kadima, Mitzvahs,
den Adam Makom,
or
Adam? I don't know that there's one, What comes first, davening or helping your wife?
You don't help your wife if you don't have davening. If you don't help your wife, you'll need davening.
He says, if you don't help her, you're going to have to daven much more. It's going to be hard to daven if you're not helping your wife. Your davening needs kavana. And ultimately, you want the wife to understand that when you're davening, you're also helping. If a wife feels that davening is a distraction of the relationship, something that needs to be healed. If it's because I need to escape the house, so there's mincha, ma'ariv, ashir, daf yoimi, shachris, v'sikin, tikkun chatzois, whatever it is, all these good things. If it's an escape, then we're back. We're stuck again. I'm looking for escapes. I'm looking to escape. I'm looking to because there's a lack of connection. You understand? That's the idea of oisik mitzvah potem and a mitzvah. The mitzvah is part of a collective relationship. It's a holistic experience. And that's why sometimes there's this mitzvah, and sometimes they say, no, this is not this mitzvah. Now it's the time for another mitzvah. And I'm fine. My Shabbos table has to look differently. My Seder has to look differently. People come to a Pesach Seder with expectations what a Seder is supposed to look like. And they're so annoyed afterwards. You know? There's fathers who prepare speeches for a month before Pesach. They have 30 agadas. They prepare the best vertlich in the world. And of course, they're waiting for all the kids and the Einiklach and the Ur-Einiklach to sit with open mouths as this man is going to spew the most delicious Divrei Torah that ever existed since before the Eitz Hadas. And on every paragraph in the Agada, he has another Mahalach and another Vart. And already 3 minutes into the Seder, this poor man is so frustrated. He says, this is Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's much better to be on the potter. We should have never left Mitzrayim with look at what the Seder looks like. He said, well, what happened? He got stuck in what a Seder is supposed to look like. What's a Seder supposed to look like? I know one thing it says, V'igadet to Levincha, talk to your child. What does that look like? I don't know. Figure it out. Talk to him. Don't talk to yourself. You want to give speeches? Fagin, come and give speeches. V'igadet to Levincha, that's the mitzvah. Connect to your child. Bond. Connect. Maybe it's a 5-minute experience of connection. Whichever language, yeah. Some Zdarim have to look very different. My point is, I know the beauty of a Seder, and everyone says Torah is a Gevaldik, but you can't get stuck in an ego. This is an ego thing. And I don't mean a bad ego. I don't mean that people are, not a bad ego, but ego means this is what God looks like. How do you know what God looks like? He doesn't look like anything. What's a Seder? What's it supposed to look like? It's maybe a nice ego and a fruming. I'm not being mavatl. I'm not judging it. Everyone has it. Lefum shirdle. But there comes a moment and you have to say, ask not what God can do for you. Ask what you can do for your God, for God. What's the Ratzon Hashem now? Maybe it's a different Ratzon. Maybe it's a complete different modality. There was a Yid here in Muncie, a very special Jew, Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald. You remember him? Olav Shalom. So there's an organization, a kid of organization, I don't know if it's Gateway, I don't know, they made up some big Yom Kippur retreat to bring in a lot of Jews. I don't know, they rented a whole big hotel, they would sleep there, and Davin, and he was invited there, I guess, to be one of the, I don't know, Yom Kippur, how many shiurim you give, but maybe before Yom Kippur, the middle by the Hefzik. And he said he came in before Kol Nidre to the hotel, he came in there late afternoon to the hotel. And he's walking already to Kol Nidre with his kittel, with the talis, with the guy, you know, everything. He's walking, you know, Jews before Kol Nidre. There's a certain energy. And he sees right then a van pulls up in front of the hotel. And like 12 people come out. And right away, one look, he sees that these are all, you know, kids from Muncie, from Lakewood, from Williamsburg, from Monroe, from Borough Park, Crown Heights, whatever it was. And They book a room, and a few minutes later, they're sitting in the lobby with everyone is coming from the Sudam of Sekastikonidze with a lot of beer. So Rani at that moment understood that his avoid is not to go to shul. And he sat with them. He sat with them. He said, what brings you here? They said, listen, if we're going to live where we are, you know, there's all this Yom Kippur guilt. We don't want Yom Kippur guilt. So we came here. We came here to enjoy our Yom Kippur. And they went to the other extreme. Of course, Yom Kippur in the morning, and on Yom Kippur, they went to the beach, whatever, they did everything, covered Yom Kippur, off in Hexton, on Shenstenhofen. And he said, basically, his entire Yom Kippur was spent either in the lobby, or on the beach. He came into Shul for Ne'ilah. He got the end of Ne'ilah. He says, but it happens to be, said, at the end of the, he says, for Ne'ilah, when he went back for Ne'ilah, 99% of them came with him. So a whole Yom Kippur, he's killing him. This Yom Kippur, this Yom Kippur. I came here to have a good Yom Kippur. This Yom Kippur. How do you know what Yom Kippur is? What's Yom Kippur supposed to look like? How do you know? That's what we mean when we talk about beauty. Beauty means there's a flexibility. Just like in physicality, right? There's a flexibility. There's a physique or a body that's very tight. It's very tight. I only move in a certain direction. Yeah. In different postures of exercise and stretches, the concept is there's a flexibility, there's an interplay. And that means there's a comfort. I'm not stuck in a particular pattern. And that's also part of Yofi. So both in Mitzvahs Esse and Mitzvahs Leisese, that's the concept of Hiskalalus. It's the concept of integration. Now, like everything, this can be misconstrued. It means, oh, Yom Kippur, so just sit in the lobby with people that are not like you. You know, the rabbi's sermon is boring. There's also the other side, right? There's a person, they may be afraid, they don't like confrontation, they don't like discipline, they don't like structure, so let's just chill. Sometimes the trap of ego works both ways. Doesn't always work in, sumedam, a harsh, harsh, uptight person. It's the exact opposite. Everything goes. I'm such a cool chiller. Yeah, you're so cool chiller, you don't even know how to bond with your kids. You don't have an opinion, you don't have a perspective, you don't have feelings. I just let everybody do whatever they want. It looks beautiful. In other words, love doesn't mean everything is permissible. Love means attunement. Love means you're connected. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes, yeah, I'm just a relaxed person. Yeah, I'm detached, so I'm relaxed. I don't care about anything. I'm disassociated, so everything goes. That's the opposite. That's what we're saying. Ha'isu mitzvah patur na mitzvah means, since every mitzvah there, so no mitzvahs are important. Or sur meirah, it's a beautiful sur meirah. It's a seriousness here. The seriousness is not a seriousness that's coming from an uptightness and an egotistical trip. It's coming from connection. Real connection. And connection not just with the mitzvah, with the source of the mitzvah. And we say, with the source of the mitzvah, I'm not stuck in a particular kaf. So this is all the concept of yifei toyar v'yifei mara. Again, so toyar is ramach mitzvahs ase. Mara is shasa mitzvahs loisasa. As we said, toyar is the evarim. Mara is the gidim. Toyar has to do with the symmetry of the evarim, and mara has to do with the blood that flows through the gidim. And that creates the mara. Toyar is the positive involvement, and mara is the state of the person, right? The shmira of the person. Shasam mitzvah sloisasa means there's what I do, and then there's what I don't do, which is as powerful as what I do, because what I don't do really defines me. What I don't do is the boundaries I create. That defines you as much as what you do. You know, people don't realize loisasa defines you as much as esse. Esse means what I do, but loisasa means what I don't do. That's part of me. You right? I don't do this. That's a very serious part of me. Because that really creates the boundary, like where you are. If I do and I do everything, there's no you. So the loisa says the marit, really what the person looks like. But in each one, there could be yoifi and not yoifi. Yoifi is, the beauty of it is the skalus of it, the integration of it. The connection that it's a mitzvah Hashem. It's not just my nature happens to fall in, to fit it. This fits into my nature. As fakocht, I become passionate about it because it just happens to fit. But there's really no personal emancipation. There's no egolessness. There's no transcendence. When there's transcendence, the way of avoda is that when I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm really doing every other mitzvah. If when I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm really doing every other mitzvah, then I'm not afraid when I have to change course. because I was never only doing this mitzvah. So it's a whole new vort in Isaac mitzvah, potem, and a mitzvah. It's a taich of how to do every mitzvah. When I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm not only doing this mitzvah, I'm doing every other mitzvah, even the mitzvahs that by nature they're opposite from this mitzvah. When I'm doing the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamoicha, the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamoicha is opposite from the mitzvah of Echech Techiach and Mechalala Mois Yumas. It's the opposite. And it's taka. One is chesed, one is gvura. But when you're oisig a mitzvah, pata a mitzvah means even when I'm doing Ahavta L'Recha, I'm also doing the other mitzvah. How can you be doing the other mitzvah? Because you're connecting not just to your comfort zone, you're connecting to the fact that it's a mitzvah of Hashem. And the Tzivui Hashem is beyond the Schalkus. It's beyond the visibility in particular structure. So I may be doing this, but I'm not completely defined by this. And therefore, I'm not going to get lost in the ego. I'm not going to get lost in the easiness of it. Because sometimes, in a moment's notice, I have to shift. I have to shift because that's what is necessary now. When I'm fully present, when I'm attuned, I can make that shift. The same is true the opposite. Right? That's why a person always needs to ask themselves, I'm doing a mitzvah now. Yeah, I'm trying to educate my child, whatever it is. Am I responding to my fear? Am I responding to my anxiety? Then it's not oisik b'mitzvah Hashem. Then I'm oisik in my anxiety. Don't call it chinuch. If my rebuking my child is a way of alleviating my guilt, my shame, my anxiety, my pain, okay. So you're using your child as your therapist. I don't think you should be doing that. At least pay him. At least pay him like you pay a therapist. Say, I need to use you now as my therapist and I'm going to give you all the money. Maybe he won't mind. If it's a real inyan of chinuch, it's tuning in to real, where the person is. And what's the Ratzon Hashem in this moment? Why are you sighing? For what's krechshusto? Okay, we'll take a break here. Everybody have a beautiful day. And Be'ezer Hashem will continue this Monday morning, 7:45. We still have to get to the Loi Seidi Lach on the Ad Loi Yada. That's next step. Yeah. Atzlach Rabba. Im loy seidi lach, ah?
I think it's basically a person in always in his nature. In our comfort zone, as you see. So what you're saying is real connection is not to be connected to your nature, but the nature of reality. Yeah, absolutely. Reality.
Yeah.
Go out of your reality.
Yeah. I could be stuck in my nature, and you know, but really I want to go out of my nature and go into Hashem's reality. And then my nature is not a confinement, a place of confinement.
Yeah. It's dissolved in the nature.
It's, right.
It becomes a box.
Yeah. It's not a box, it's dissolved in the infinite reality. And then it becomes a manifestation of infinity rather than a trap that keeps me stuck. This is who I am. This is who I am not. Now I'm triggered. Now I can't be connected to you. And the truth is, the reason we create nature, it's a form of separateness. It's a form of protection. When I'm one with the source, I don't have to get stuck in a nature because Hashem is not defined by any particular nature. I could manifest that through my nature. But if my nature, I put a lid on it and I say, okay, the flow is not there. So now it's a self-contained reality. Now I have to invest in it and really create something that's counterfeit, the counterfeit ego.
Because that's the hardest thing about Pesach. Because Pesach, you come into this and you're a box.
Yeah. That's Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means I'm sitting at the Seder, but I'm in Mitzrayim. Get out of Mitzrayim. The biggest Mitzrayim sometimes looks... the whole Pesach Seder is to go out of Egypt, but sometimes that's the biggest Mitzrayim. Because I'm stuck in what things are supposed to be, what it means to have a good family.
Because we have an expectation.
Yeah.
If they don't fit into our expectations.
And also, and what if a person feels, you know, why can't our family be like this family? all the kids sitting around and everyone prepared drushes on the Haggadah. And everyone looks to say, Tati, you're the best Tati who ever lived. And Mommy, this is the most amazing Seder I ever had. Please, let's continue it. Let's not go to Shulchan Aruch. Please, let's do Maggid for another 3 hours. Right? Why have that family like my next door neighbor? I've seen your Seder. That's what it looks like, right? This is at my house already by Kaddish. It's already a Churban. Once we hit Karpas, they're all already ready to go to sleep. By the time we start the Manashtana, this is done. We're done. Huh? It's a Lubbesed. But that's the whole Chiddush. The Chiddush is to be able to find Seder in the reality that you're facing. You understand? Instead of creating chaos from it, create Seder from it. Realize this is the rhythm. This is the beat to dance to. You don't have to run away from it. Go find me a normal house. Go find me a Seder. This is Seder. This is your Seder. Your Seder is not my Seder. What order is for you is not what order is for me. Order means creating order out of chaos. That's the Chiddush of the Seder. And that has to do with attitude. That's consciousness.
It's so difficult. It's like basically you coming into, somebody say, you becoming a conductor of the symphony.
Right.
And everybody in this orchestra doesn't know how to play an instrument, doesn't know how to fit in. It's like total. And you try to conduct it in three hours, supposed to be a symphony.
Beautiful. Well, what if you say, we're going to do jazz? We're going to do jazz. Exactly. You're saying I'm coming into a Seder as a conductor of a symphony. I need you to be a violinist, you to be a celloist, you to be a pianist, you to be a guitarist, you to be a drummer. It's a churban. But say no, our family does jazz. Yeah. You improvise and music doesn't have to look like music. Maybe it could look like, I don't know. And all the scream, all the... As long as everybody feels a part of it, because they feel safety, they feel connection.
Conductor, you bring out the best from everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be what you thought it was going to sound like. Just bring out the best from everybody.
That's
the job of the shop.
So when we go in with expectations that come from ego, it becomes very hard. Because everyone is always disappointing me. Always disappointing me. But that's coming from the fact that I am detached. I'm allowing myself to be detached. I'm falling into Judaism, becoming a crutch for my insecurities. You understand? I need to feel like an accomplished person. I'm a good father. I'm a successful father. I'm a Erlich Hayid, whatever the name is. And suddenly, this whole family is proving me wrong. So what? Of course I'm angry.
So basically, instead of attachment, you have detachment because of...
Yes. Exactly. So the religion becomes a source of detachment. Whenever God becomes a source of detachment, it's not God. It's called Avodah Zarah. If it's Hashem, it's a source of attachment. Because what is Hashem? Hashem is the divinity that connects the world. It connects me and my kids. Or me and my wife. Or me and my friend. Or me and another person. Me and another Jew. So if it's the disconnect, it's not Hashem. Basically, there's a separation. I fell into my ego. I call it halacha, seder, mitzvahs, because that's the comfort zone I'm in. But it doesn't have to do with that. So I really have to this is inner work. This is what we learn about constantly. It's the inner work of emancipating myself from my ego. I don't need it. We don't really need this. This is all superimposed because I'm not connected. When I'm connected with the source, I'm a channel. If I'm a channel, that's what I need to be. I need to be a channel. If I'm a channel, you're a channel for what you need to be a channel to.
What if the person wants to connect to Hashem as the mitzvah? How do you know which mitzvah, what Hashem wants from me now? Once said that someone left the kippur down to help women.
The Alter Rebbe. It's a great story. The Alter Rebbe was unbelievable. He was in the middle of Kol Nidre, and he had his talus over his head, and he was davening. And suddenly he took off his talus and took off his kidlin, he left shul. And they found out that he went to the edge of the city. There was a yoledes, there was a woman who gave birth, and people left to shul, but he wanted to be by Kol Nidre. And she was left alone, she was stranded, and her life was in danger. She was hungry, the baby was hungry, she had no milk. And he went and he chopped wood on Yom Kippur. and he made a fire. He lit a fire, and he cooked soup, and he gave her the soup, and she could nurse the baby. So the Rebbe told the story once. He used to tell the story, and he said, "L'chaida, what's the chiddush? It's everybody knows Hatzalah doesn't stop on Yom Kippur. What's the chiddush? Yeah, if a mother's life is in danger and a baby's in danger, you're allowed to cook. Of course, you're allowed. It's a mitzvah." Faket by Pikoach Nefesh says it's a mitzvah begadol. It's a mitzvah that he shouldn't send a small child because people shouldn't think like it's a heter. They should understand it's a mitzvah. So the Rebbe said the chiddush of the story is that he was in shul, in the middle of Kol Nidre, in the tachlis hadveikus to Hashem, in the ultimate veikus, uneder der filt. He felt the hunger of this woman. That was the chiddush, that he felt it. He didn't get a WhatsApp message. In Liyosha, they didn't have WhatsApp for whatever reason. So that means that he wasn't connecting to Kol Nidre, he was connecting to Hashem. You understand the difference?
He wasn't connecting to Karpas.
He was connecting to Hashem. And Bemele was connecting to the strong. The Avodah is Karpas. You're right. The Avodah is Karpas. He didn't go learn Gemara then. The Avodah now is Karpas. Now the Avodah is Yachatz. Now the Avodah is Rachza. And there's a halacha how to do Rachza. I can't say, who cares? We're chillers. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying that. We're saying is that the Rachza is also infinite. Not that there's no Rachza, there's no Karpas, there's no Yachatz. Of course there is. But it's God that's coming through it. If it's God that's coming through it, then the Karpas is not only Karpas. Then the Karpas is Yachatz and Magid and Maitzi and Matzah and Kodesh and Shabbos and Yom Tov and Tefillin and Mezuzah and Lulav and Avos Yisrael. It's all the same. When you touch the DNA, again, the nekudah of DNA is the etzem, the core of a mitzvah, you're touching every other mitzvah. So if you're touching every other mitzvah, you're potter from every other mitzvah, and you're doing every other mitzvah. You're doing every other mitzvah. Even the mitzvahs that are opposite. Because the form is not a trap. The form is a channel. You understand the difference? Is form a channel or is form a trap? Nature is not a trap, it's a channel. By the Akedah, it says, Bar Avram Avinu, Ata Yadati Ki Yirei Elikim Ata. I always knew you're a man of love. Now I know you have Yireh. By the Akedah, it says that the first time about Avram Avinu. That Avram Avinu was a man of love, that wasn't a question. He was a lover. Avram Avinu loved. He loved people. Yitzchak by nature was very introverted. Avram by nature was extroverted. So, but his extrovertedness wasn't because he was a social butterfly and therefore he wasn't shy and he could choose. Yitzchak looked like Avram Avinu. What's the chiddush? It says Hashem made that Yitzchak should look like Avram. People were laughing. They said that Yitzchak is not his real child. Avimelech nesabra sada. So Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi doesn't tell the Tsar, he formed the image of Yitzchak, the visage of Yitzchak to be compared to Avram. It sounds like it was a big miracle. It's very natural that a son looks like a father. It's not a chiddush, right? You look just like your father. But a pseudo was a chiddush. The vart is that Avram was midas hachesed. Yitzchak was midas hagvura. So mitzad their dispositions, they were opposite. The reason a son looks like a father is, on a spiritual level, on a genetic level, there's a continuation. But Yitzchak actually in nature was opposite than Avram. So at the surface, Yishmael looked more like Avram than Yitzchak. Yishmael was a very lebedika person, a party animal. Yadei bakal, yad kol boy. Yitzchak was much more reserved. So at the surface, Yitzchak and Avram were much less similar than Yishmael and Avram. But that's on the surface. In the Pnimius, Yitzchak and Avram were the same. They lived in God's reality. So yeah, Yitzchak's Avodah was through Yireh. Avram's Avodah was through Chesed, but they lived not in nature, not in their own nature. Their nature was a reflection of the divine nature, of divine reality, which is not stuck. So that's why Yitzchak looked like Avram. It was a chiddush, that really in Pnimius, Avram was an Avod Hashem and Yitzchak was an Avod Hashem. They were both Avdei Hashem, not Avdei Achashverosh. How you serve God, everyone has a different avodah. You have yours, I have mine. Because I have my heart, I have my nature, I have my disposition, I have my strengths, I have my weaknesses, I have my talents, I have my struggles, and you have yours. That's never going to be the same. You have to know who you are and what your avodah is.
But it's an avoida. There's an element of bittul here. There's an egolessness. If you can internalize this, your life is much happier. Much happier. Not only happier, you're fully present. You're present because you're attuned. You're present. You're not running somewhere. The moment I'm sitting Shabbos or say, and there's guilt and shame and more guilt, and then I'm like, okay, now I'm not going to get angry now. I'm not going to explode. I'm already exploding. By not exploding, I'm even exploding more because it's going to come out in an hour. Passive aggressive, but it's going to come out. I learned Musar. I went to a shir. They said you have to be an edel. Okay, fine. So now I'm gonna be edel. These low lives, mamzedim. I'm not their father. I don't know where these kids came from. Mamzedim. You know when fathers call their kids mamzedim, you know who they're talking about, right? They think they're insulting their kids. I'm mamzer. Yeah, he's not talking about himself. You're not insulting your kid, you know. They say there was a Chabaraz. I don't know if it's a joke or not, but Chabaraz, a new guy came. And you know, you don't know in a shul if you're a new guy when you sit, when you stand, you know, mishtet, mizitz. So the rabbi there put him down near a toisha, you know, somebody who's there, and he says, just copy whatever he does. You'll feel comfortable. He gets up because it's done. So that's what he does. At the end, Shlich gets up and he says, I want to wish this fellow in shul, the guy who always came, a big mazel tov. He's fathered a child this week. So he gets up. And the guy near him gets up. So you understand the matzav. So basically you have to know when to copy other people. Verstehst? Don't, you don't have to always copy other people. Sometimes let him stand, you stay seated, you know. It becomes a philosophy of copying what everybody does. You have your own avodah, you don't have to copy. Your house is your house, it's not somebody else's house. You don't look at somebody else's house. So this person is now struggling with himself. I'm going to be ale. I'm going to be nice tonight. This Pesach, I'm going to be nice. You're missing the point. It's not I'm going to be nice. I have to deal with my inner demons. It's not about being nice, b'chitzonius. If it's b'chitzonius, and an hour later, I'm going to lose it. Or the next day, I'm going to lose it. Or the child is going to feel that children feel everything. And you'll hear them tell your wife, Tati was really miserable tonight, huh? Well, he was smiling the whole time. Sure. He was smiling because he went to a shir and somebody said you have to smile. He wasn't smiling, he was miserable. He wishes he could be the father of the Finkelsteins. I mean the Schwartzes, whatever. He wishes he could be their father. Nebuch, he ended up in this house. What's missing here? What's missing here is the person doesn't even understand who they are. Yiddishkeit has become a shtikel avodah zarah, chas v'shalom. I don't mean literally, but it becomes like a... It's a trip. It's not a relationship. It's not a relationship. First of all, don't take it. It's not personal. It's about a mission. You don't even know about neshamas. How do you know? Maybe, you know. I had an interview with Rabbi Shimon Russell. I don't know, some of you saw it maybe. It was a 3-hour thing. It's kedai to watch. Very, very powerful for parents, children. He's a very, very authentic human being. So he shared He was in Lakewood. He was a Lakewood Talmud. He came from Gateshead in Lakewood. And, you know, sat in Kailo for many years and became a therapist. And, I think has 8 kids, Kaneinhardt, or 7 or 8 kids. He wrote a book, Raising a Loving Family. He lives in Yerushalayim today. So he shared that, you know, he was once sitting at a Shabbos table and he said this publicly. He had 8 children and 6 of them left Yiddishkeit. 6 of them left Yiddishkeit. I think maybe all of them or most of them came back. But imagine you're a Kailo Yungaman in Lakewood. You know, this is Lakewood, you know, 30 years ago. Talk about success, right? Talk about failure, right? And then you're a therapist telling parents what to do. Like, he said, I wanted to quit my job. I was like the ultimate failure. So he said, you know, what really attached him was one Friday night. He was miserable. You know, none of the kids were interested and he was just really miserable and he was angry at them and you know, very tough and rough. And this is not Shabbos and nobody could say Advar Torah, nobody could sit at the table. Nobody could sing a niggun, no zmidis, nothing. This is like a base mishagoyim. He was so, so upset. Anyway, he says he was going upstairs to sleep. And then one of his daughters, who was already checked out of the system, looks at him. And you know, girls know how to say things in a way that sometimes boys don't.
She went down.
she was coming down in the, you know, different types of garments, let's put it that way. The begadim from Adam and Chava before all the issues happened. And she looks at him and she says, so this Judaism thing is not really working out for you, Tati, is it? And he said, this was like, and the twirl, you know, the twirl. This Judaism thing is not really working out for you, huh? She got it. And he said, at that moment, she transformed her father from being a self-serving, ultra-Orthodox narcissist into becoming a servant of God. That moment, that question. He had to look at him and say, you know what, Judaism is not working out for me. It's not. It's a miserable experience. There's something miserable about my Judaism. And that moment, he became a Yid. He became a Jew. And once he, and what happened when he became a Jew? His children also became Jewish. A Yid wants to be a Yid. A Jew wants to be a Jew. It's not a question. But he wasn't, he was creating a fake Judaism. And this is chas v'shalom not to say that somebody who can have the most traditional, beautiful Shabbos table should have exactly that. And sing all the zmidas. Not one zmidas, but you could sing 29 zmidas, including ka'echsoif. And when you come to v'yiyur achamecha mizgoylelim, you know, do it 30 times. V'yiyur achamecha adarab. And let everybody do all their parsha sheets. And when they finish, do mishnayas. And then do the klayaka, the ramban, whatever you will, gesund to hate. Vada, it's not, but you have to know, you know, mi yedeim leis kazoi segat l'malchus, you gotta know what, which mitzvah you gotta tune into. Maybe the mitzvah you have to tune into is v'hafta l'recha kamoicha. Maybe the mitzvah you have to tune into is mesiras nefesh. You have to have mesiras nefesh. Maybe that's the mitzvah. How do you know that? Maybe that's the mitzvah now. Maybe the mitzvah is that I have to have mesiras nefesh. I have to surrender my ego to Hashem's will. Maybe that's the mitzvah. You have to know what the mitzvah is. This takes a lot of humility and a lot of practice. And guidance from the right people who understand these things, not from the wrong people. Sometimes the worst guidance we get is, why don't you explain to her that in this house we don't dress like this? Explain it to her. She's only 17 years old. She knows what you believe and your wife believes better than you do. She's heard this speech, I don't know, between 12 and 13,000 times. You think she doesn't know the values in this family? Explain it. Just explain it. Say it nicely. Nothing to do with that. She knows everything. She doesn't want to know, or she's not ready to know for whatever reason. But it's hard. It's hard to surrender. I want the quick fix. The quick fix is not about the other person. It's about me. I want the quick fix. So if I could cover up the leak and I shouldn't see the water coming down, I'm fine. What about the fact that above the cover up, the whole system is disintegrating? Oh, I don't care. There's no leak. Somebody has an infection and shows up on the skin. They put a Band-Aid. The doctor says, yeah, but you have an infection. You know, it's going to affect your lungs. Just put a Band-Aid. I'm looking for a quick fix, or I'm looking to heal the system. If you're looking to heal the system, it's not a quick fix. So you have to tune into the system. You have to tune into the person. So this is all what we're talking about. This is Yefei Toya v'Yefei Marna. This is Pshat. I can have all the Ramach mitzvahs, all the Shabbat mitzvahs, but there's no Yoifi. There's no beauty. There's no integration. I'm afraid of the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not afraid of Hashem. Very big difference.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.